السلام عليكم ورحمة
الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، So a couple of weeks ago we had Sirah Khatam Nabeen صلى الله عليه وسلم, where we ended the fourth year of Hijri, and we talked about the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to two of the widows of the Battle of Uhud, namely Zainab bint Khuzaymah radiallahu anha and Salama radiallahu anha. And Zainab radiallahu anha was married to Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anha, who was martyred in the Battle of Uhud. Also Abu Salama radiallahu anha, who was also injured in the Battle of Uhud, and then later on, because of those injuries, he also died from those injuries. So we talked about how the Prophet ﷺ married them, and we talked about the dua of Salama radhiallahu anha that we learn, where she says, whenever a musibah afflicts someone, then you say, you do istirja', say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and then you make dua, Allahumma jurni fi musibati wa akhlifni khayrun minha. So make that dua that, oh Allah, give me ajr for this musibah that I have been afflicted with, and give me something that it was better than before. And we talk about how Salama radhiallahu anha mentions that when I made the dua, because it's from the sunnah of the Prophet, she made the dua, but she was thinking to herself that who can be better than Abu Salama radhiallahu anha? Who can be better, a better husband than Abu Salama radhiallahu anha? And we know that later on, the Prophet ﷺ himself proposes to Salama radhiallahu anha, and she becomes one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. So she realized the dua, the acceptance of dua, and she realized that Allah SWT had indeed given her a better husband than her former husband, Abu Salama radhiallahu anha, and that was the Prophet ﷺ himself. So continue on in the fifth year of Hijri, there was one expedition that took place, one ghazwa that took place in Rabi'ul Awwal of the fifth year of Hijri, and this is called the expedition or ghazwa of Dawmatul Jandal, which is to the north of Medina Manawara, close to Syria. So it's about 15 days journey at that time, 15 days journey to north of Medina, and about 5 days journey south of Syria, of Sham. So in that area, they were given news. News came to Medina Manawara that they were getting ready to attack the Muslims. And at that time, the Prophet ﷺ went out with the Sahaba. And again, the Kuffar were filled with fear and did not dare attack the Prophet ﷺ or stand in the battle with the against the Prophet ﷺ. So they actually all ran away. So the Prophet ﷺ stayed there for a few days, made some treaties with the local tribes, and then came back to Medina Munawwara. Another significant incident or expedition that happened, this is in Sha'ban of the fifth year of Hijri. Okay, the Sha'ban of the fifth year of Hijri, just a few months after Rabi'ul Awwal, where it's called the Ghazwa of Banu Mustaliq or Muraysi'. Muraysi' is basically in a well, okay, where Banu Khaza'a tribe is the larger tribe, and then one of the clans of that tribe is the Banu Mustaliq, where they would live, and they were amassing an army to attack the Prophet ﷺ. So this news reached Medina Manawara that the leader of the tribe, Harith ibn Abi Dirar, he was forming an army to attack the Prophet ﷺ. So Rasulullah ﷺ sent Buraydah ibn Husayb al-Aslami radiallahu anh to go and confirm the news, to confirm the intelligence. So he went, he confirmed that it is authentic, the intelligence is correct, and they were indeed preparing to attack the Muslims. So the Sahaba were ordered to prepare for battle, and they got ready for battle. Rasulullah ﷺ appointed Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anh, his adopted son. He appointed him as the Naib or the representative in his place to take care of Medina Manawara, the affairs of Medina Manawara. And from the Azwaj Mutahara, the Prophet ﷺ took Salama radiallahu anha and Aisha radiallahu anha. And at this, up to this point, The Prophet had married a total of six wives. Two of them had passed away. So the ones that had passed away was Khadija radhiyallahu anha, and we talked about Zainab bin Khuzaima radhiyallahu anha, the one we talked about last class, that she remained as the wife of the Prophet for about six to eight months. So she passed away soon after the marriage. So two of them had passed away, and there was four of them remaining, and these are Sauda radhiyallahu anha, Sauda bint Zam'a radhiyallahu anha, Aisha bint Abi Bakr radhiyallahu anha, Hafsa bint Umar radhiyallahu anha, and Salama radhiyallahu anha. Okay, so these radhiyallahu anhunna ajma'in, these are the wives of the Prophet up to this point. Now, the second of Sha'ban, in the fifth year of the Hijri, they left Madinah Munawwara towards Muraysi', towards the tribe of Banu Mustaliq. And when they arrived there, there was a little bit of fighting that took place. They shot some arrows, and then the Muslims attacked. And when they attacked, the Kufar ran in all directions, and they were defeated. So the Muslims took 2,000 camels as ghanima, as spoils of war, and 5,000 goats were taken. Also, 200 families from Banu Mustaliq, from that tribe, were taken as prisoners. Now, one of the captives was the daughter of the leader, Harith ibn Abi Dharar. His own daughter, Juwayriya radhiyallahu anha, who later becomes Muslim, she was actually one of the captives. So, she was not Muslim at this time, but she was one of the captives, and she fell in the lot of Thabit ibn Qais radhiyallahu anhu. Thabit ibn Qais radhiyallahu anhu was he basically set a price, mukataba. Mukataba is when you own a slave and you basically make a deal with them that if you pay this much amount of money, then you will be set free. So he set a price for her freedom, and Juwayriya, at that point, not having any wealth, she came and she basically approached the Prophet to help her in paying off the mukataba so that she can become free. Now the Prophet ﷺ, He was also approached by Harith ibn Abi Dharar. So Harith ibn Abi Dharar, when the fighting took place, he actually took off. He ran off, and he was not taken as a captive. Later on, he brought many camels to set his daughter free. And when he was coming, it's in the riwayah that he actually took two of the best of the camels. He got greedy, so he was going to take his daughter and ransom her, basically buy her freedom. And he got greedy, so he just took two of the camels and hid them behind a mountain pass. He hid them, tied them to a mountain pass, and then he comes to the Prophet while they're still positioned and stationed in Banu Mustaliq or Muraysi' at the well. And he comes forth, and basically he wants to buy the freedom of his daughter. Now Rasulullah being Rasulullah and getting the wahi, he actually informs him, what about those two camels that you have hid behind the mountain pass? And Harith at this point realizes that this can be known by no one except a prophet of Allah. So he accepts Islam. He says that I hid those and no one saw me, no one knew about those two camels except myself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must have informed you, and he actually becomes Muslim. Now Rasulullah, regarding the daughter, when he asks that the daughter is released, the Prophet says, why don't we leave the choice to her? So he leaves the choice to her. They bring Juwayriya radhiyallahu anha. And the Prophet says to her that, what if I give you a deal that is better than your mukataba, basically better than setting you free? What if I pay your ransom, I pay your mukataba, and I and you marry me? And you marry the Prophet ﷺ. What do you think about that? And she agrees. She said, I would stay with the Prophet ﷺ. I would like to become a wife of the Prophet ﷺ. So Rasulullah ﷺ does that, and she is freed, and she becomes a wife of one of the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. She becomes one of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. Again, going back to what I was saying last time, is that the Prophet ﷺ, whenever he would marry someone, it wasn't for personal gain or anything like that, but it was for a greater good. And one of the reasons here is you have this huge tribe that was caught, and they were fighting against the Muslims. The father has become Muslim, and now there's a chance here where through the Prophet ﷺ marrying the daughter, they can also become Muslim. So, and that's actually what happened. When the Sahaba learned that the Prophet ﷺ had married Juwayriya radhiallahu anha, they actually freed all of their captives. Okay, they freed all of their captives, and they basically said that, how can we keep in-laws of the Prophet ﷺ as our captives? So we free them all. They free them all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they became Muslim. So this whole tribe became Muslim through Juwayriya radhiallahu anha. And Aisha radhiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, she actually reflects upon this or comments about this. She says, I have never seen anyone more beneficial to her relatives than Juwayriya bint Hadith radhiallahu anha, radhiallahu anhuma, because the father was also Muslim. And she says that I have never seen anyone who was more beneficial to their in-laws than Juwayriya radhiallahu anha, because the entire tribe became Muslim after this incident. So we'll stop there inshallah ta'ala, and what we're going to do is next week inshallah we'll talk about what happened at Muraysi' while they were stationed there. There was some scuffle or some argument and fight that broke out between the Muhajirin and the Ansar, and the hypocrites who had joined the Muslims in large numbers in this battle, you know, being greedy for the spoils, knowing that the Muslims were coming out in a large number. The Muslims were actually 1,000 in number. Sahaba were 1,000 in number, and they were going to fight Banu Mustalik. So the hypocrites knew that we're going to be able to win easily. So they actually came out in large numbers with the Prophet ﷺ. So we'll learn inshallah next week what kind of fitna they caused and what kind of words Abdullah ibn Ubay, the leader of the hypocrites, what he said and what happened after that inshallah. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين